let your sweet aroma fill my life. Rose of Sharon, show me how to grow in beauty in God's sight. Fairest of 10,000, make me a reflection of your light. Day stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Show me what I've never seen before. And Lord, I want to be a witness. You can take what's wrong and make it right. Day stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Lord, I see a world that's dying, wounded by the master of deceit. Groping in the darkness, haunted by the years of past defeat. But when I see you standing near me, shining with compassion in your eyes, I pray, Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up the door, let your word speak to me. Show me what I've never seen. Take what's wrong and make it right. Day stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me.
Let's all stand. We'll change over the service. Amen. Thank you, girls. What a blessing. Harmony. There's a blend of voices there. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy.
His word. I want to turn to Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 to 2. And we preached on that for several sermons, and we'll just want to tonight just speak on that again and take the subject one God. And the brothers in the back were talking about how maybe that might be able to spice that title up a little bit for the internet. So we'll see what they can do. Oh, I sure appreciate everybody.
Amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we're so grateful to be able to gather around your word tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just guide us and strengthen us as we go through these scriptures, Lord, and study these things out. Lord, help us, Lord, help that something will be said to help your people and to strengthen and guide us in this time, Lord, that we're living in. We pray in your name. Amen.
Amen.
So it says, Revelation 6, verses 1 and 2, it says, "And I saw, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." You may be seated.
Amen.
The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. And it's interesting that I think tonight I'm just going to take my time and navigate through this through these things and just talk a little bit. But I think it's interesting that when the Lamb opened up one of the seals, opened up that first seal, that he heard John heard the noise. It was as the noise of thunder. And of course, Brother Branham and we've all been educated in these things that that's the thunder is the voice of God.
Amen.
And you begin to meditate on these kind of things, and you think about how that, you know, so many people that they hear the preaching of the gospel and they hear the message being preached, and maybe they play a tape and they're not really getting it.
Right.
And
Amen.
You know, it's almost like background noise.
Amen.
And it's just thunder. It's just Amen. Like noise, and you're not really hearing the voice. And you know, when you read a few chapters before in the book of Revelation, there was a promise that was given to every church, to the overcomers in every church, and it just kept repeating over and over to the church of Ephesus and the church of Smyrna. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I think that's something to meditate on. You so many times you just kind of observe that a message will be being preached, and you know, when a message is being preached, it's like there's layers to it, and words might be being spoken, but yet there's something, you know, Brother Branham explained it. There's something between the lines, that it's there's something between the words that are being said. If you really get the sense of what's being spoken. And really can catch the vision of what is really being said, something beyond even maybe what you just hear with your ears, or something supernatural taking place. So if we can hear what the Spirit saying to the churches, and you know what we all battle with as we come to church and we hear the maybe almost sounds like the same things being said over and over: justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and these same things being repeated. the things that Brother Branham said were so important, like the message, the future home that he preached. It seems like he's just saying something simple and basic: justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then, and when the seals are opened up, justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It seems like, you know, maybe the question I'm asking tonight is, are we getting it? Are we hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church? Or is it just thunder to us? Do we come and we sit and it's just, we're going through just the motions? Will we come and we sit and we look at the preacher, and we're just there, and we're not really even listening, but it's just, and I don't want to get into this mode where I'm like, pop, pop, pop. That's not what I'm trying to do. But there's something supernatural that's taking place when the message is going forth. And if we can hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, then we'll have overcoming power. After that promise is laid out in every church age, then he gives to the Laodiceans, you have a right to sit with me in my throne, to the each age. If you can hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, if you can really hear what is written between the lines. Now you go all the way back to just kind of meditating on some things about how that this message was given to actually loose the Spirit in the church. And down through the seven church ages, it was bound, you can read in the prophet Joel how all those four stages would eat it down, eat the word down, and then God would send a restoration through these different messengers. That Martin Luther would preach a message of justification. Oh, here it goes again. That John Wesley would preach a message of sanctification. Yeah. Yeah. The baptism of the Holy Ghost would be restored at Azusa Street. Amen. And then would come a message of Elijah. Amen. That would actually bring us a capstone message. Yes. That would loose, that would release, take all the where the Spirit had been bound by dogmas and things, that would actually release it and loose it in your life, and so that you could really, so you could soar like an eagle. Amen. So you could soar like an eagle. Now you think, though, about each of these. Let's ask the question. Was Martin Luther born again? Yes. Now let's really meditate on that now, because he preached justification. Yes. So what are you making that justification? Right. Now see, a lot of people will make that justification. They'll say, well, all he could preach, all he knew about was justification. And so that was counted as though it was the full new birth. But now let's meditate on that. How is God going to dwell in an unclean vessel? Every age, every stage, every church had to go through the same process of justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because that is what constitutes a new birth. So when you say that Martin Luther only knew justification, and that's all he had, and that was counted for a new birth. Now, that's not quite accurate, is it? That's not quite right. Now see, what's happening is that your justification, Martin Luther's justification, sanctification, the unclean spirit going out of him, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost was counted. Now he's truly justified. And now see, you've got to understand these things. If the seals are ever going to be open to you, you've got to understand the simplicity of these things that maybe we struggled at and stumbled at. Now, look, Martin Luther received, what was he preaching? He was preaching a genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost, not by evidence of what the Roman Catholic Church was saying, not on works or anything like that, but how? By faith. Faith in what? Faith in what Jesus Christ had already done on the cross. Because God is a just God, and somebody is going to have to die, and it was going to be us until we had a Redeemer to come and die on the cross. And so now we're not looking at ourselves. We're not looking at where our own works are, like the Roman Catholic Church did in that day. Look at how far you can, how many novenas you can do, and look at all these kind of things. But they, Martin Luther said, we're justified by faith. And, you know, Paul laid it out that when you're really born again, it's not your faith anymore, but God's life is now imparted to you, and his life is in you, believing and believing for you. And so it's his faith. And that's why at the bottom of the stature of perfect man is faith, and that starts your journey. And faith is how you're justified. Now, see, we're talking about a little step up. The justification that maybe you were taught in message grade school. You go out in the yard and you pick up a dirty bottle and it's dirty and you pick it up and you justify it. And then you've picked it up and now you're going to clean it up, sanctify it, and then you can fill it up and use it. Now, what makes you just though? It's because you're putting your confidence in something else. And when you're just, when you're truly justified, then here comes John Wesley to preach, well, we need something else. Amen. And God sent a messenger to give them a word to keep them moving on. Amen. To keep them climbing. What were they climbing? Amen. Now that you're born again, there's more to be added. Now we're going to live a holy life. And these virtues are going to be started to be added by the Holy Ghost. And it's the Holy Ghost all the time. And you can see that process of the church age messengers, God restoring what had been eaten down bit by bit through this process of justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the restoration of the gifts. Now, you'll find where Brother Branham, he wants the church. God wants the church to have gifts and actual working of the Holy Spirit and a moving of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I was sitting in the bedroom the other day talking to my wife about this, that Azusa Street, each age was supposed to be added on to justification and then sanctification added to that. And Azusa Street added to that. And if they had the gifts and the moving of the Spirit and the Spirit loose, then we're supposed to be adding to that. Right. It's not what we go back into, lukewarm and powerless and where we don't want the Spirit moving in our lives and moving into the church, but we keep moving on. We keep moving on from lion, ox, man, eagle to where we're soaring in the heavens, soaring where we can understand the mysteries, but we're not going backwards. We're going onwards. So Martin Luther and John Wesley and Azusa Street and all that, they were reformers to kind of reform and tidy up some things. But Elijah was come to restore everything back, everything that was lost, to take us all the way back. So now we can understand these things. Now we can see the pattern. You think about Martin Luther didn't really understand his place. He was preaching a message of justification, but he didn't really understand his place in the pattern. And John Wesley started preaching a message of holiness that we gotta live clean and we gotta live holy. But he didn't really understand his place. But now that's what God sent a message for, so that we can understand these things, and there won't be any question left unanswered. Not one. Not one. Now let's meditate on that for a moment. You think, why do we need to understand the seals? Why do we need to understand these things? Because for the saints to come out of the ground, for your body to be changed, it's going to take not one word off. Amen. You see, you go back to Genesis, and one word off is what caused the fall. Amen. One word off is what caused them to go down in the ground. That's why every funeral, every sad event in your life, every sickness, people around the world getting COVID again all of a sudden, and all this is because of one word off. And one word off calls that. And now so many are not one word, but many words off, a whole lot of words. And so what I'm trying to say is it matters. It matters. You know, I find in life so many times people, you try to, say that that's wrong. And I don't want to be right.
And you'll get called critical. Well, you're critical. You're critical for standing for something. I tell you, I think it's time that we stood for something. God, and what are you going to stand for? You're going to stand for the Word. You've got to stand for the Word. The Word is the thing that's changing us. It's changing our mind. It's changing everything. It's what's going to bring the dead saints out of the ground. It's the Word that we believe, the truth that we believe. And it matters what we believe. It matters. And so we're looking at this pattern of justification and sanctification and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to get to my topic, one God, here in a minute. So just hang on. And Romans chapter 8, verse 29, this is scripture that Brother Wade was reading on. He said, it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son.
Amen.
Or to think about that God knew you before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And what did he knew you were going to come to? That you would be predestinated to be like him.
Amen.
To be conformed to the image of his Son.
Amen.
That he might be the firstborn,
Amen.
The first among many brethren that would be like him.
Amen.
That would be, well, we're, this is where we're getting to. That would be God revealed in flesh.
Amen.
That you'd be like him.
Amen.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called.
Yep.
And whom he called,
yep.
Them he also justified.
Amen.
And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So then if you're really justified, and justified means that the divine gavel has been swung in your favor. You stood at the courtroom and the judge looked not at you, but he looked at the sacrifice already paid for and said, well, I can't condemn you because the price has already been paid. And you're trusting in that. You're trusting in what Jesus already did for you there on the cross. The price is already paid.
Amen.
And that makes you just.
Amen.
And not only that, but the justifier, the judge, is living inside you. And you've got the justifier in you. Now, that's what makes you justified. Now, many have been like that baby form justification. Like, you know, Judas was there and casting out devils and all those kind of things. But he's not going to be glorified. There's been, Nicodemus was there at the beginning. He's there at the outset. But where was he when at the day of Pentecost? He just kind of disappeared in this story. Where was? There's many that started out. See, you start out and then we've talked many times about how early on in our Christianity, you'd see people go through the prayer lines and seem like they had got a great blessing. And then where are they now? They started out, but they never, something didn't take somewhere. And what I'm talking about is, were they justified? Judas wasn't justified. I'm talking about justified now. Justified, the justification that comes from that upper room on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
That kind of justification. The justification that Martin Luther was preaching. Do you see that? That Martin Luther was not preaching just a little go get the glass out of the yard and then we're going to clean it up. He wasn't preaching that kind of a justification. Oh, come on, you got to see this. He's preaching a justification where you got the justifier in you, and now you are justified. You are just as just as God is just in your soul. You're just. You are right in your soul. Your heart is right, and you're living right. Your desires are right, and you are justified. So now that kind of justification, you're going to be glorified. If you go down in the ground, you're coming up one day. And some are going to live until they see that day when their flesh is going to be changed. And that's the glorification that we're looking for. That glorification comes from being truly justified and truly predestinated and part of him and foreknown in him before the foundation of the world. Justified. Now, that revelation of being justified, that's what's revealed in the seals. That is what the message come to loose to you, to release to you that I am justified. Oh, that'll give us somebody something to shout about. If you really see that all that antichrist spirit down in your soul, the iniquity has been purged from your soul. Now we'll get to this other things are revealed later, but in your soul that you have been purged, the iniquity is gone. That down in your heart you believe and you want to do right. Now even in your spirit you might still do things wrong and you might might make mistakes, but in your heart, you are justified. Oh, that's something to give glory to God about, that you were predestinated to be glorified, and he did it by justifying you. That's the revelation that he looses in the church. That's what the message came to do, to take the veil over your eyes away, to loose, to unstop the hearing in your ears so you can hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, so you can really hear what God wants you to hear. And that's what he wants you to know. That's what he wants you to recognize, that you're not justified by your own works, and you're not justified by anything your church has done or any of the leadership has done, but you're justified by what Christ did for you on the cross. And he come and he filled you with his Holy Ghost to keep you saved and to preserve you and to fill you with his life, to show you the revelation of one God that is not another person, but it's deity residing in your heart. Brother Branham said in the Feast of the Trumpets, he said, the Holy Spirit has been bound by these denominational rivers for almost 2,000 years.
Amen.
But it's to be loosed in the evening time by the evening time message.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit back in the church again.
Amen.
Christ himself revealed in human flesh.
Amen.
In the evening time.
Believe that.
He said, he promised it.
Amen.
So what are the seals loosened? The revelation of the seven seals loose our understanding that a son or daughter of God has the same life of God.
Amen.
And that's what justifies you.
Amen.
It's the same life of God in your heart. Now, see, I remember when I get born again, I struggled with this, how people framed it for years, because when I get born again, I knew that was God coming down, and I knew he was changing, he was doing something, he was starting something in me. But you see, we're coming to a greater understanding. A greater place. You know, Brother Branham, when he first started, he told the story of the seeing that cross and the little woodshed coming and entering into him. And of course, you know, that's deity. You know, that's God. That's something, God doing something in you. But then one day he was on top of a mountain in a snowstorm. And something Brother Chris Long said when he was preaching just really struck me. He said, and it's things we've heard so many times in our life, that the only difference between God and Satan is Satan can't create.
Right.
So creation is an attribute of deity.
Yes. Right.
And there Brother Branham was on the top of that mountain.
Yep.
And Brother Branham said, he said, and look away to Jesus. He said, I went back as he told me after waiting a while and eating a sandwich. And while I was sitting there, that wind twisting and blowing, the treetops leaning way over and the sleet and snow a flying like that, a voice said, I am the God of creation.
Amen.
I looked up and I thought, where was that? That was the wind, maybe. He said, I created the heavens and earth. I stilled the mighty winds upon the seas and went on talking. I jumped up and took off my hat. And he said, just speak to the storm and it'll cease. Whatever you say, that's what will happen. Why? Because he's coming to a place of maturity. And it's God in that man, and he's believing it. And I said, storm, you cease, and sun, you shine normally for 4 days till we are out of here. And I no more than said it, until the sleet, snow, and everything stopped. Now, you think about that. Only deity can create. And only deity can, you say something and it's going to do what it says. You sit there talking, looking out and say, little squirrel run out on that branch. And he spoke and it happened. Little fishy, I give you back your life. And he spoke and it happened. Hattie Wright, whatever you say. And she was sitting there listening to him tell the story of Jehovah Jireh, that he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever, just the same Jehovah Jireh that could give Abraham a ram, and that same Jehovah Jireh was there when I spoke to squirrels. And she said, that's nothing but the truth. And out of Hattie Wright's mouth, she spoke deliverance to her children.
Amen.
Now, see, deity resides in the heart of every born-again Christian.
Yep.
Now there's what's loosed, and as the seals are broken, is to make you, to bring you to a place where you recognize that there's God in you.
Amen.
That same God that he said, I'm the creator. That same God is now living in you.
Amen.
And whatever you say, didn't Brother Branham say that if you're a born again Christian speaks the word, it would be the same as deity speaking.
Right.
It would be the same as deity speaking.
Amen.
If you speak it with faith and you believe.
Amen.
Now see that all down through the scriptures, you maybe let's set in our mind that when scripture speaks of Jesus, it's also speaking of you. Now, let's read how we can apply that. And we're talking about recognizing that you're a part of God, that God, that same one God, is living in you. In Hebrews 1, 5, 6, it says, for one to which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Now, he's placing the relationship between Father and Son.
Right,
and in other words, he's saying the Son is just as much God as that office of the Father.
Right. Yeah.
So now we can take that and apply it to our own selves. If you are a son or a daughter of God, if you've got that same life in you that spoke the worlds into existence, a son is just as divine as his father. You've got the same particles of the same makeup of the ocean in you. It might just be a teaspoonful, but it's still just as much quality of the ocean as though it was the whole ocean. The same qualities, the same makeup. That's your part of the true revelation of one God. Now, this is what all the Pharisees stumbled at, that God could be manifest in the flesh. In Matthew chapter 22, the story goes, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Now, listen to how he frames this. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?
Amen.
Now see what he's trying to say is, the son of David is going to be in flesh. The son of David is going to be manifested in flesh. How is David calling him Lord then? And now they're trying to reconcile that thing. And they're trying to understand how God could be manifest in the flesh. Now, that's our problem. We fail to recognize that God is manifest. God is tabernacled in our flesh. And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. In Exodus chapter 7, the Lord told Moses, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh. And in John chapter 10, Jesus answered them. He said, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. Who the word comes to?
Yeah.
Who the word comes to? Ye are gods.
Amen.
You're part of God because the word came to you.
Amen.
In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 6, it says, let this mind be in you.
Right.
What mind? Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus.
Exactly right. Amen.
To what? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
Right.
To recognize your place and your position. Oh, what's the first seal doing? It's revealing the Antichrist, yeah. But it's also revealing that divine power to combat it. It's revealing the divine power that justifies you and fills you. And that it's revealing that one God that is tabernacling himself in you.
Right.
In Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 that we just read, it says, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see.
Amen.
And what's that cherubim representing? A divine, a genuine power, a genuine life, a genuine moving of the Holy Ghost.
Right. Thank you, Lord.
In the message, the first seal, Brother Bram said, and they said, now here's a white horse, and a white horse is a power, a charger. and said the man that sat on that was the white horse, was the Holy Spirit that went forth in the early age and conquered that age for the kingdom of God. He had a bow in his hand, which meant like Cupid. He shot the arrows of love into the hearts of people, the love of God, and he conquered. Now, that sounds very good, but is it the truth? That it wasn't. White does mean righteous. We realize that. That white means righteous. The teachers taught it that it was the Holy Spirit conquering in the first age. But my revelation of it by the Holy Spirit is not that way. Now, there's a lot of things that are bound up in what the first seal is. There's a lot of things, the mystery of iniquity, justification, all these things that we study out. But listen to this quote that Brother Branham said the first seal is. My revelation by the Holy Spirit is Christ and the Holy Spirit is the self same person.
Amen.
In other words, it's one God.
Amen.
Now, there's a true revelation of one God. See, only in a different form.
Yep.
So here stands Christ, the Lamb. We know he was the Lamb. He's standing here with the books in his hand.
Yeah.
And there goes the white horse rider.
Amen.
See, so it wasn't the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Now, see, there you can see that under the seals is revealed. It gives you the ability to discern true and false.
That's right.
Why? Because you're starting to be able to hear. I've seen so many people, they'll sit in a service and they'll just nod and amen and rejoice over false doctrine.
Yep.
And it's like they don't care.
That's right.
But other people, I'm going to use my wife as an example. She was sitting next to somebody, it doesn't matter. And they were both listening to the same sermon. And she turned to the person next to her and said, he's preaching a two souls doctrine. And the other person said, I don't hear that. I don't hear that. And you see, that's how it is. You can be sitting right next to the person next to you,
Amen.
And they don't hear, but you do hear.
Yes. Amen.
You hear it.
Amen.
And why? As you mature, as you're growing up, you're beginning to recognize things that ain't right.
Yeah.
And I tell you, one thing you recognize is it matters.
Listen,
don't ever get in your mind to think it doesn't matter. It matters. It matters because, you know, Brother Branham used that example of shooting a bow at a target and just a little bit off. And by the time it gets to the target, it's way off. So if you don't understand things at the foundational level, if you don't get your Holy Ghost foundation right, by the time you try to get up to the top of the pyramid, you're going to be so far off you don't know which way's up and which way's down. It matters. It matters. The whole journey, it matters. And you got to trust in God and just trust in him to lead and guide you because we've got that promise that he'll lead and guide us into all truth. He'll lead and guide us into all truth and take us to our destination. Now, see, look, if you know who that is standing there, you can see who that is riding off.
Amen.
If you know who that is standing there, if you have a true revelation of one God, if you have a true revelation of why you are justified, if you know who that is standing there, you know who that is riding off, you can discern. Let's say it like that. You can discern. You can tell the difference. And the first seal, Brother Ram said, now that's one of the mysteries of the last days. How that Christ can be the three persons in one. It's not three different people. We're talking about one God tonight. And I'm not going to keep you late. Don't get worried. I can see everybody. Y'all get shifty on me. I start shifting around. Anyway. It's not three different people, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost being three gods, as the Trinitarians try to tell us it is. It's three manifestations of the same person, or you might call it three offices. If you're talking to ministers, you wouldn't use office. We know that. But if you want to make it, it's three attributes of the same God, and not three gods, three attributes of the same God. And so how could Christ be out there with a white horse conquering and standing there with a book in his hand? It isn't so. It isn't Christ. Now, I wonder if we really understand the revelation of the Godhead. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost are three different offices.
That's right.
three different offices, not three different people. If it was three different people, then they would have, you know, you take any three of us, we're people. We're going to have a different outlook on certain things. We're going to have a different different hairstyle, different ways of doing things. People are different. But if it's one God and three people, then you got three people doing things differently, behaving differently. But this is not like that. We're believing in a God that is one God, one person, in three different offices. Now, let's hold up. Let's contrast that, the Trinitarian view with the oneness view. Many people don't understand the oneness view. The oneness view is Brother Dale used to explain this, like pouring out in the each eight. You pour, take the Father, you pour out into the Son, and then the oneness view is you're done away with the Father. The oneness view is down through each dispensation, you move, and it's just one. But the real true understanding of it is you can be on the River Jordan and see, hear a voice and a dove and the Son, but it's one person manifesting himself in different ways, maybe all at once, like right here in this building, that one God with his same way that he does things every time, and the way his characteristics and his makeup and his character manifesting himself in different individuals. So there you can see that it's not one like your finger. So the truth lies somewhere between those two views of the Trinitarian view of three people and the oneness modalistic view that you're going down through the different ages one at a time. You can't have a simultaneous manifestation. You can't have attributes manifesting at once. Looking at the three Hebrew children, looking at the fiery furnace, I see one like the Son of God. That just wouldn't play. That you can't understand that right, looking at a oneness view. So the truth that we believe is between, it's always like Brother George Smith with his balance, in the middle, to balance it out right. So now when we have a true understanding of one God, to know that God that created the world is that's in us is not a separate person. It's not a separate person from Jesus Christ. It's not a separate person from the Father. It's the same person. And that same person that spoke the world into existence, that same person is in you. And he's still got that creative power. He's still got the power to create order out of things in your life and in your home if you believe it and speak it. Well, that's why you don't ever speak. Don't ever have a negative confession. Don't ever say you're struggling with spirits or struggling. I got devils on me. Don't say that. Don't say that. Speak positive things. Speak what God's word says. Amen. Say something positive and watch it come into act. Watch it come into reality. Right, what you say, actually, it's got power. Yeah. If you speak negative things, it's got power. If you speak positive things and God is backing it up, amen, it's going to produce what you say. Amen. And in Hebrews chapter 4, Brother Branham said, it looks like people can see that and not argue. Certainly, God is not three people. If he is three gods, then we're heathens. Yep. Right. You see, the reason why we're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's not three people. Amen. Right. And we know his name. It's not titles. Yeah. We don't go out under the water in the name of titles. We're going in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's one person, and that is his name. Amen. Which one is God? They're all three. One God is three offices of the same God. He was the Father in the form of the Holy Spirit in that pillar of fire in the wilderness. He was the Son when he used the sonship office. A little while and the world seeth me no more. I'll go away. I'll come again and be with you, even in you to the end of the world. See, he's the Father, the sonship, and the Holy Ghost too. It's all the very same God working in three different offices. And in questions and answers on the Holy Ghost, he said, and we find out that the Holy Ghost is God himself. Amen. In you. Amen. And that's what the Holy Ghost is God himself. Amen. In you. Amen. God was above you in the pillar of fire with Moses. Yep. God was with you in Jesus Christ. Now God is in you in the Holy Ghost. Amen. No three gods, one God working in three offices. You know, Brother Ram told that story of the little Israelite that said, you can't slice God up and give him to me. We had a little Israeli come and fix our some plumbing at our house the other day, and I just so enjoyed talking to him. And he told me, he was showing me on his phone, it popped, somebody called him, and it showed up their name in Hebrew. So he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And he was telling me, I've read the Bible, just saying the Bible, I've read it hundreds of thousands of times, and people don't know what it says. And you know what, you got a Hebrew, like that one talking to Brother Branham saying, you can't slice God up in three people and give it to a Jew. And a Jew like that, they'll read their Bible over and over and over again. And somebody that don't even hardly read their Bible, none, will try to slice it up and give it to a Jew. A Jew, everything we're based on, the Jewish religion is what we're basing what we believe on. And they know that their Lord, our God, is one God. And then you take all these Trinitarian ideas and say, well, we're just going to slice it up and try to hand that to a Jew. No, a Jew's going to be like, no, listen. I've got all these scriptures that I've memorized from my birth. I've followed all these rules and all these. I know you can't tell me that God is not one God.
Amen.
And if you really have the revelation of one God, you know that it's that same God
Amen.
That's in you.
Amen.
Now, aren't you glad to know? How confused would you be if you thought that the Holy Ghost that was in you was like a different person? Well, it's the same God, but a different person. What kind of confusion is that?
Amen.
It's the same God and the same person.
Amen.
It's the same God manifesting himself in a different way.
Amen.
You're not Jesus Christ. He's manifesting himself in a different way. He's manifesting himself in your flesh. It's not. That's why you're not the Son of God. It's not Jesus' flesh that he's manifesting himself in. He's manifesting himself in your flesh.
Amen.
Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ. Christ, that same Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Galatians 2:20 said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Amen.
And the message, go tell, Brother Evan said, that's the God of heaven who's raised from the dead. It was one God living in three offices. The same God, God above you, God with you, God in you, the same condescending himself, cleaning out his church. That he might live.
Amen.
He's cleaning out his church. He's not going to dwell in an unclean vessel. He's got to clean you out.
Yep.
He's going to clean out your soul first.
Amen.
And then he's going to clean out your spirit.
Amen.
And then he's going to fill every fiber of your being.
Amen.
And take you out of here.
Amen.
So what's happening? The seal is being taken off so that you can see what's under there. So you can see who you are. The seal is being taken off so you can see what the book is. And if the book is you got to be able to understand what's underneath there.
Right.
There was one time you couldn't see one God. Maybe even tonight, maybe you might be sitting in that same spot where you can't quite see it. Oh, but then the seal is taken away and you can see. It's just like you couldn't maybe see water baptism. But then the veil was taken away from your eyes.
Amen.
And now God has taken the veil, he's taken the sheet off of the masterpiece to reveal, well, there's the thing I've been working on all this time down through seven church ages. And there's my masterpiece.
Amen.
That the flaw makes it a masterpiece and all those things. When it's revealed, you can go back to the scriptures and read and you can see. Oh, isn't it interesting how Brother Ram, like his mama told that story of, or he told that story of his mama wiping the coon grease across their eyes and all those kind of things. Well, it's got to compare back to in Revelation where it says, for this church age, and then Laodicean church age, to anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you can see. Because this is the age when the seals are being taken off, when the veil is being taken away so you can see things plainly. So let the word open our eyes up to our justification.
Amen.
To our justification.
Amen.
And justification, what's justification mean now? It means that you are right with God.
Amen. Right.
It means that you're guiltless.
Uh-huh. Right.
It means there's no guilt.
Nope.
It means that you are sinless. Who can hold anything to the charge of God's elect?
Amen.
Now, if you've truly been justified, you can't say anything about a newborn believer's real experience. It's real. It's genuine. Justification means that you're at peace. You can walk out of the courtroom. The gavel has been swung. The verdict has been declared. You're guilty. You can take off those orange prison clothes and release those shackles, and you can lay them to the side, and you can go out a free man. You're guiltless. You're at peace. You're given access to God's grace. Now you've got access to every promise that's laying in the book. You've got access to his grace. You can come with your justification token and hold it over your prayer and claim whatever you have need of. I wonder if sometimes that's why we don't get our prayers answered. You got to have the token to hold over your prayer. And then you can claim with confidence. Justification means you're free from condemnation. And it means that you've been reconciled back to God.
Amen.
And I'm talking about real justification now.
Brother,
it assures your salvation. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin,
Amen.
For his seed remaineth in him.
Amen.
And he cannot sin
Amen.
Because he is born of God."
Amen.
So now, if you're truly justified by a new birth, sin is over. In your soul.
Yes.
Sin is over.
Yes.
No more sinning.
Yes.
No more disbelieving
Amen.
Down in your soul.
Amen.
Now, Brother Brown said, "And is this the end of the sign of the end, sir?" He said, "Now, is it plain when the first seal was open, the seals that was inside the book, these mysteries that was sounded forth, justification, sanctification, Roman Catholic Church, Protestants, and when all their little battles and things left these loose ends in the Word of God,
Amen.
The seventh angel comes on and gathers them all up and explains them."
Amen.
See? And then he finishes, "Seven thunders that are out. When John started to write, he said, 'Don't write it, but seal it.' And the first seal was opened
yep.
of the seals on the inside of the book."
Amen.
It opened with a thunder.
Yeah.
It opened with a thunder. Now, if we can really see what the thunder is saying
right,
and read between the lines
right,
and hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Amen.
We realize that the justification of eternal life is permanent and eternal
Amen.
And unchanging.
Amen.
How do I know I've been justified? Because I've got the justifier living inside of me.
Amen.
Justification is, like I said, it's the divine verdict. In Romans chapter 8, verse 33, it says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?"
Amen.
It is God that justifieth.
Amen.
God is the one that justifies.
Amen.
Oh, you think about it. If your soul is truly justified, there ain't nothing else that can be done for it. The redemption process for your soul is finished with.
Amen.
It's over.
Amen.
You've been justified.
Yes, sir.
In Romans chapter 3, verses 25 and 26, it says, "Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past,
yes.
to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness,
yes.
that he might be just
yes.
and the justifier
Amen.
Of him which believeth in Jesus."
Amen.
And Romans chapter 3, that verse right before that says, "Being justified freely
right.
by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus."
Amen.
And the Message in Absolute, he said, that gives us justification to know with the earnest of our salvation within us now, the very life of Christ pulsating in us.
Yeah.
Now that gives us justification.
Amen.
The very life of Christ pulsating in us.
Amen.
And how then could we deny the Word, which he is the Word
Amen.
That gives us this assurance? The Holy Spirit is there. What is it? It's still that North Star. The Christ is that North Star.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit is that justification
Amen.
That points the believer right straight to the North Star.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is that justification. How? Because it's the justifier.
Amen.
It's the thing, that holy thing, as the Scripture says, that lets you know that you're right with God.
Amen.
Now, that's what I believe the first seal is speaking of.
Yes.
In Revelation 6, John heard the voice as the noise of thunder. So the thunder is the voice of God when the seal broke.
Yeah. Amen.
The Holy Spirit takes that seal off and God speaks from his throne.
Yeah.
Who's speaking? He's using that combat beast voice to speak.
Amen.
And the seal is the Holy Ghost, and the thunder tells you what is sealed. And he says, you are justified.
Amen.
What's that mean? Deity lives here.
Amen.
Deity lives here.
Amen.
Deity has made you just.
Amen.
Not another person, but that same person, the same person of Jesus Christ. The seals is what lets you know you're a genuine believer.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Absolutely. Amen.
Because look, Satan don't know. He don't know what's going on.
No.
And now that should give us confidence.
Amen.
That Satan cannot get a revelation.
Amen.
But if God is tabernacled in you and you see it, if you see the truth of it, it's proof that something supernatural is happening to you. If you really see it by supernatural revelation and supernatural vindication, that the first seal is what reveals the mystery of iniquity.
Amen.
And you see it riding away.
Amen.
The first seal is what reveals the Antichrist. And it reveals Nicolaitanism, that spirit of the Antichrist to try to control and prevent the Holy Spirit from moving in the early church.
Amen.
The first seal reveals how to get rid of iniquity. How are you going to get rid of that thing?
Yes.
You're going to get rid of it by the lion spirit, the lion anointing of the word. The word is what drives it out.
Right.
And it reveals your justification.
Yes.
And the true church versus the false church. And it reveals one God.
Amen.
One God in you.
Yes.
It reveals how the church's journey started.
Amen.
And it reveals how your journey started.
Amen.
And it reveals a true believer versus an anointed one. It reveals the difference between the true and the false. And it reveals how to cast out the devil.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Right.
And that is what the Antichrist spirit is fighting against.
Yep.
That's right.
What's he fighting against?
Amen.
He's fighting against you realizing what you have.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Amen.
He's fighting against you realizing who you are.
Amen.
You see, even you can see it kind of even right now in the church. You people, just as soon as you start preaching these deep things, it's like people draw back from it. And you get tired from it. And see, I know it's Wednesday night and everything, but it happens everywhere. We love it when you run down the aisles and you can preach a good, hold your arm out stiff and dance around and all those kind of things. But you lay the truth of the deep mysteries out, and it seems like we just draw back from it because it's, I remember when I first started out in my journey, I wanted the seals. People was talking about the seals, and it just struck such a hunger in me. And Brother Branham would say, that's what you need is desperation. You need to get so hungry for it and to realize the value of it. That's what you want. And if you fall asleep and you slumber during the church service, to go back later and catch up and listen to it, because you ain't getting out of here without a revelation of the seven seals. I remember Brother Dale telling me one time that if you really catch the revelation of the seven seals, I'm talking about all of them, you are not going to die. You see, the value of the seals is such that sometimes we'll just say, we're almost like, maybe I should stay away from that. But the seals are the most, this truth that God, that's why Brother Brown was sent to us to preach these things, not in the years of preparation, not in the years of just starting out and everything, but his whole message was to bring us a revelation and understanding of the seven seals so that we could have confidence in what we have and have a true revelation of that deity that's living inside of us. To know that your redemption is finished.
Right.
To know that God, what God has done for you in your life and how God has brought you from point A to point B and see it revealed in the seals and see the thunders open, what it is and what these things are speaking of. That's why in the revelation of Jesus Christ in the church age book, chapter 1, he said, now remember this. Christ and the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts.
Amen.
But the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit will come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless.
That's right.
It exposes Satan, revealing his works.
Amen.
And what is his works? The attempted destruction of God's people.
Amen.
And the discrediting of God's word.
Yes, sir.
And boy, you can see Satan on a rampage today. seems like everybody's falling away. The word, he's trying everything he can to discredit Brother Branham, to discredit the word, to discredit, poking at the bridge, poking at this and that, but he can't poke at the revelation of the seven seals. He can't poke at the true understanding because the Satan don't know nothing about it. He knows, he right down to the time he is cast into the lake of fire, he fights that, he cannot stand it. He knows what? That if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is, what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. Now, what's the greater works? Brother Brown will explain, you know, he said that you'll do more works. Like Elisha. Twice as many miracles as Elisha.
Right, right.
You'll do more work. But now, let's bring it up, magnify it a little bit. Greater works. On the day of Pentecost, Peter did something that Jesus never did. He spoke eternal life on the day of Pentecost to the believers that were gathered around there. And that's why Jesus said, you'll do greater works than this. And then they began to do miracles and things. Now, keep magnifying down until you got a little prophet speaking. On the day of Pentecost, he spoke eternal life. He spoke a word that the people around there believed, and they believe there's greater works. And then keep bringing it on down to a little prophet in Hattie Wright's house. A little prophet, a little fishy. And he spoke what he spoke, he believed. And because that same one God was on the scene, the word that he spoke came to pass. Now, see, that's what the seals are to bring, is to loose the spirit in our lives to where we can believe that what you speak will come to pass. Oh, if you need the salvation of your children, believe it and speak it. If you want order in your home, speak it. It's time for the church to come into speaking conditions. And you can do it because the seals have been loosed. It's been loosed so that you can have liberty in your life. It's time to believe it and speak it. In the Pergamagan church age, he said, now then, this word he has left behind on the printed page is a part of him when you accept it by faith into a spirit-filled life. He said that his word was life. John 6:63, but that is exactly what he is. In John 14, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In Romans 8:9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. There it is. He is spirit and he is life. That is exactly what the word is.
Amen.
That is exactly what Jesus is.
Amen.
He is the word. So when a spirit-born, spirit-filled man in faith takes that word into his heart, and places it upon his lips, why, that is the same as deity speaking. Every mountain has to go. Satan cannot stand before that man. So if you know who you are, then you will be an invincible army. That means that no mountain can stand before you, because you know that you are deity manifested in flesh. You know you've got that same one God that walked the shores of Galilee backing up the words that you say, and you believe it, and no mountain can stand before you, no sickness can stand before you, and not even death can stand before you. As Jesus stood there before Lazarus, and he said, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus walked out of the grave, and that's the kind of faith that is going to be manifested in the church that's going to call the saints from the ground, because no mountain will be able to stand before that kind of faith. You will be an invincible army. All that ought to make a bride church shout. When Brother Ram preached that message, who is this Melchizedek? He wasn't just preaching a story, but now that same Melchizedek that ate bread with Abraham and was manifested in the flesh with Jesus Christ, now that same Melchizedek is tabernacled in you. Who is this Melchizedek? And you can know by the opening of the seven seals who you are and who stands here. Who stands here, and you can recognize, you can discern who that is, who that other guy is, who that other guy is running away, that Antichrist guy. Anything contrary to this word is Antichrist. So if you're the word, and the Son of Man will be the full word and no mistakes, not one word off, the full word manifested, you can recognize that other guy is the Antichrist. It's the Antichrist if it's a life contrary to the Scripture. Oh, God is bringing us up to a place where we have a life that is not one word off. Not it will match perfectly with the Scripture. You'll have a life that will be identified with the Scripture. The Word is where we put our basis. The Word is what we compare our everything against. And one word off is that Antichrist riding away. John called it the Antichrist. Paul called it grievous wolves. And look how John framed it as we're closing in just a moment. How you know the Antichrist. John framed it up as the Antichrist denied that God was manifest in the flesh. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come, is come in the flesh, is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist. It's an Antichrist spirit to deny that God is here now in the flesh, in your flesh. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 22, he says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. What's he saying? If you just like we were saying earlier, to recognize that the Son is just as much deity as the Father, and a Son of God is just as much deity as the Father. It's God, that same God. So it's the Antichrist to deny the Father, to deny one or to deny the other. Because if you recognize one God, oh, that's a true revelation of one God. Paul called it a mystery, the mystery of iniquity. When you're standing there right in front of you, it's no longer a mystery, but it was a mystery back then. Something working in the early church. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Amen. And iniquity is behaving contrary to what you know is right. Amen. And I'm going to close on this. The Antichrist is a spirit. It's anything that's contrary to the Word because it's anti-Word, but it's a spirit working among the people. Amen. So what do we have as we close and the musicians come forward? Christ is in his people. Here at the culmination of all things, Christ is in his people. Amen. Satan is in his people. Yep. Satan has claimed his people, but God has claimed his people. Yep. Christ has claimed his people, and Christ's people know who they are. Amen. They know who they serve. They've identified themselves with the Scripture, Amen. And they recognize their God. Yes, you love the Lord. Let's stand to our feet and just worship him. Now, if you have need of anything, then we'll be glad to pray with you.
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere. Listening for my name.
Oh, you can hear your name called as the word is preached. If you're listening, you can hear your name called from Scripture.
I'll be somewhere.
Oh, that's what the preacher of the gospel does. It calls your name.
For my name, I'll be right here. Listening, I'll be right here. Listening, I'll be right here. Listening for my name. If my heart is right when he calls me, if my heart is right, I will hear. If my heart is right when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name, for my name. I'll be right here listening, I'll be right here listening, I'll be right here listening for my name. If my robe is white when he calls me, if my robe is white, I will hear. If my robe is white when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name, for my name. I'll be right here listening, I'll be right here listening, I'll be right here listening. standing for my name in his word.
Amen. Amen. Have you heard your name called? Yes, sir. You hear the word preached and you recognize that's the thing I've been looking for. And it means something to you. I trust it means something more to you now than it ever has. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer and we'll be dismissed. Lord God, we're so grateful for you on this Wednesday night for stirring our souls and helping us, Lord Jesus, as we fight this battle. I pray, God, that something was said, Lord, to help increase the faith of your people, oh God. And I pray that you'll just guide them and strengthen them, Lord, and bless them on their way home. Keep them safe, Lord God, as they travel to their homes. Be with them now, Lord, we pray. And we just thank you for all the things that you've done for us now. Amen. God bless you, saints. You're dismissed.